Are you ready for the entertainment experience of a lifetime? Knockdown, Dragout, hard-hitting conversations, debates, and interviews. Well, if you said yes to any of these questions, sit back, relax, and enjoy something like no other. This is the Isolation Series Podcast, presented by the Scott Robles team at Douglas Elliman Real Estate, by WellbeingsPerformance.com for all your online meeting needs, by Barbarian Steakhouse, Canada's premier upscale restaurant. For more information, go to Barbarians.com. By ImprintPilates.com Toronto and the Greater Toronto Area's premier Pilates studio. And by the Toronto Immune and Digestive Health Institute. For more information, go to TIDHI.ca. Here now is your host, Spencer Miller.
Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of the Isolation Series. Me, Spencer Miller, very pleased to be joined, as always, by my co-host and partner in crime in this thing we like to refer to as the Isolation Series. And of course, I'm talking about the one and only Paul Shields. And it is Monday, May 15th, 2023, episode, I believe, if memory serves, 278 is today. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are approaching 280 very, very quickly. And first and foremost, I believe it is only right to start off this Monday, May 15th, 2023 edition of the Isolation Series by saying that I hope that all the moms out there listening to the Isolation Series had an absolutely wonderful Mother's Day yesterday in North America, as it were. I know, Paul, that you had a chance to spend some time with your mom, or at least have a nice call with her, as always. I bet you echo my Mother's Day sentiments to start off the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I didn't get the chance to see my mom yesterday, but we're going to celebrate this upcoming weekend. I had a prior engagement supporting an event in Ottawa, which is quite the drive for me from where I am, for those who know that Southern Ontario area. But I will be looking forward to celebrating with her next week. And yes, we did get a chance to chat, which was great, as always.
Awesome. Just before we dive into the topics of today, why don't you expand a little bit on what you were fortunate enough to go to Ottawa for with Laura over the weekend, because it is a remarkable event, and they have multiple events, one of which happens in Toronto or the Toronto area as well at some point during the year, that I've been fortunate to hear nothing but great things about as well.
Yeah, so the event was Motion Ball in support of the Special Olympics. There, as far as I know, there are events in Ottawa, Montreal, and Toronto. And basically, it's a day of a day filled with sports and games. Teams get together, raise money for Special Olympics, and then on the day of, you are partnered up with a Special Olympics athlete as your team, as part of your team. And then you get to compete in a bunch of different, a bunch of different sports. So it was really wonderful. I had a great team. I got to meet the gentlemen who take care of Motion Ball Montreal, who were excellent. A lot of fun to be around. Our athlete Christian was our star for sure. He was excellent all day. And it was really great. You know, lots of money raised for the Special Olympics, lots of smiles to be had. My wife was manning the silent auction table and was really pumping out the raffle tickets for a WestJet trip that WestJet was kind enough to supply as one of the prizes at the table. So all in all, it was a really great event. I strongly encourage anybody who is in those areas to look up Motion Ball, available on all of your social medias and whatnot, but a great cause. Really reminds you the spirit of you know, sports like this and just the impact that it can have on everybody and the importance of inclusion and representation in sport. It was a great weekend. I was really proud to be a part of it.
And did the weather hold out for you guys? Was it a decent day weather?
Oh yeah, it was excellent. if it were any hotter, it was taking place at Carleton University. We were at the field house there and sharing their main gym. So really it was a lot of fun. It was excellent to be there. And the weather held out. Luckily we were inside, but for anybody who knows those university field houses, it's not like an air conditioned environment. So I'm glad it wasn't any hotter than it was, but I'm certainly not going to complain about the weather. We get enough crappy weather here in this country that a little bit of a warm day didn't hurt my spirits at all.
I'm sure it reminded you of back in the day when we were at MMR with our non-air conditioned gym that we had to deal with throughout the beginning of the summer and end of spring there, which was quite sticky at different points.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. The most important thing is you raised $56,000 over the day, I believe you said. So that is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, it was great. It was, I know that I don't know exactly what their fundraising goals were, but there's a big number. From what I understand, it was bigger than last year's number. So that's really all you can ask for is to continue to gain momentum and continue to gain visibility for events like this. Cause again, so many smiles, so much fun, so much camaraderie, all, packed into a 4 or 5 hour event was really something to see.
Good, good. Now shifting gears, I want to get your thoughts on round 2 of the NHL as it is quickly coming to an end. And I am going to send it over to you once again to go over our predictions and see how we've done so far in round 2. We know that there is still one series left to be decided between the Seattle Kraken, which I believe takes place tonight, if memory serves as well. But over to you, and you can take it anywhere you want.
Well, sure, Spence. So far, we are neck and neck here. You had the Panthers winning, so you get that. I had the Leafs, so I miss out there. You had the Devils, so you missed on that, and I have the Hurricanes. And then, unfortunately, we both had the Oilers taking out Vegas. So right now, we're 1-for-3, and one of us will be 2-2, and one of us will be 1-for-4, as we find out who wins the Kraken and Stars game that happens later tonight as we record this on a Monday afternoon. I think the obvious place for us to start would be the Leafs and the Panthers series. It's a tough, really, really tough series to break down, I think, for Leaf fans. I think if you look back, and we talked about it on the show, the Leafs played some really good hockey at big stretches in this series. But what hurt them badly, I think, are two things here. The big stars struggled to get their foot, get a foothold in this series. So for games 1, 2, and 3, it was looking pretty tough for what we traditionally call the core four. In game 4 and 5, they were better, but wasn't quite enough to keep the series going. And the other thing that I think was really notable in this series were the mistakes that the catastrophic mistakes that ended up in, the turning points in games. We didn't see that very often or nearly at all in the Tampa series. The mistakes that were made were made up for quickly or were flushed, and it was sort of a one and done kind of thing. With the exception of game 1 against Tampa, which was truly a terrible game, every other game they managed to control their mistakes and then make up for mistakes they had made, which ultimately won them the series.
Pretty much weather the storm is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you win the series, you weather the storm, right? This time, they just simply could not do that. I think the only game that they were able to minimize their mistakes and capitalize on their opportunities was a really, really tight game 4. And ultimately, they needed to score more to win. You can't score two goals a game and hope to win hockey games. It's just not going to happen. I get that Bobrovsky played incredibly well, and he deserves all the flowers for what he did and what he's done basically since entering these playoffs in the Boston series. He's been spectacular. But I think that when you have, you know, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Riley, you know, all the guys that they are have counted on the core of this team, it's unfortunate that, you know, we're talking about similar narratives. So, you know, there's positives to be taken out of the fact that they were able to get the monkey off their back for the first round. They beat a very good Tampa team, but it just shows you how hard it is to win in the NHL and how much work there is left to be done. So I'm not jumping on the bandwagon of, you know, they're terrible and it's exactly the same and look how awful this is. That's not my style, as all our listeners know, as you know, but I think that it's going to be a very interesting offseason. I think there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made around what to do next here. But I think the priority has to be what they decide to do with Kyle Dubas and their GM role, because the GM has to make the decision on Matthews and Nylander, who are eligible for contract extensions starting on July 1st.
100%. And to your point, like, this isn't like so many other times throughout this 6 or 7 year run where it's been glaring mistakes and different things like that. Yes, there were mistakes, to your point, at different stretches of the series, no doubt about that. But the Leafs largely played a good series, minus, you know, a little too many turnovers in pretty much all the games, minus that game four that we talked about, and that 66 seconds of a mental lapse seemingly in game two. Outside of that, they played a fairly good round two, in my opinion. And as I mentioned last week, a couple of different times, just ran into a hot goalie like we talked about. So I want to get your thoughts then on something that you said about the future of Kyle Dubas. Earlier today, before we did the taping of this episode of the podcast, Austin Matthews came out and said in the media that he would like to sign an extension with this team long term before the beginning of next season starts. Do you take anything away from that, or it is still a wait and see situation at this point?
Well, I think, you know, if Matthews wants to be here, they'll find a number that works. I don't know, unless Matthews wants out, I don't see a reason to move on from a player with his skill set. You know, I think that it's easy to be frustrated when players find some success early in their career, like Matthews, like Marner, getting the Leafs to the postseason in that first year when, you know, they probably weren't a playoff team yet. But they found a way to get in. And then you run into a bunch of disappointments. I think it's easy to have that knee-jerk reaction of, well, you know, change everything, fire everybody, trade whatever, blow the team up. I think it's easy to get onto that bandwagon. But I think if you look back, it took players like Ovechkin a long time to win. You know, it took players like...
Look at Ray Bourque.
Well, I mean, Ray Bourque is one for sure. But hopefully it won't take that quite that long. But there's lots of examples. Nathan MacKinnon, another player that took quite some time. You know, Connor McDavid, who is the best player on the planet, and we'll talk about that series in a bit, I'm sure. He's still finding a way to get to the Stanley Cup final, right? He's still finding a way to win the ultimate prize. So I don't want to put too much pressure on the idea that they haven't won yet. Would you like more from Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, et cetera? Absolutely. But if Austin Matthews says he wants to stay here and he's being genuine and honest, and the goal is to get a contract extension done next season, then you have to get it done. I think that there's no way that you win a trade with a player like Austin Matthews. Now, an argument can be made, in my opinion, for guys like Marner, guys like Nylander, guys like Tavares. I think there's a way you can go about trading players like that and finding a way to make your team better. Maybe not necessarily in the players you get back, but in the mix that you bring to the team. Maybe you're looking for a different element, a different position, whatever it might
chemistry. Be. Chemistry.
Sure, yeah, if you want to call it that. But I think there's ways to win that trade. I think that trading Austin Matthews, unless it's a situation like Matthew Tkachuk last year, right? He made it very clear to Calgary that he wanted out. Calgary did the very best they could to get two very good players back in return for him. So unless you're running into that situation, I think signing Matthews is the best thing to do. So that's my hope, is that come July, we're talking about Austin Matthews extension. And you know me, I don't give a crap what the number is on it. I think that he's a good player. I think he's going to be a good player for a long, long time. And I think that he's going to win. I would love for him to win in a Toronto Maple Leaf uniform.
Only time will tell, Paul. Only time will tell. You went at least 3 days without hearing that once, so I figured it would be an appropriate time to bring that up right now. Switching gears to another team that you follow very closely, and that we follow closely throughout the playoffs, and that ended up being Canada's last hope for a Stanley Cup run in the Edmonton Oilers. They fell short last night against the Vegas Golden Knights. I believe the final score was 5-2. I stopped watching after 4 goals. What were your thoughts on the way that Edmonton played the series and ultimately lost the series?
Yeah, Vegas just continues to find ways to win hockey games, thanks to, you know, man, I don't even want to say it's good defense. It's determined defense. You know what I mean? Like that team plays with a lot of guts in their own zone. And that's a very unanalytical way to say it, but, and obviously they are a good defensive team. Go ahead.
They play with truculence is what they play with.
Sure. That's not the word that I would use, but whatever you'd like, whatever you want to put on there, go right ahead, because whatever they're doing is winning hockey games with whatever goalie seems to be, you know, healthy enough to stand in the net. And that's not a shot at Aiden Hill or any of the other goalies that have played. It just seems that they have had nothing but bad luck on the goalie injury front, but they've managed to make up for it with good defense, and the goalies that are in there are battling. So I think that, you know, Oilers fans, and I would consider myself an Oilers fan, I think that there's a disappointment around just how incredible this team looked from the trade deadline on. You know, they went out and got Ekholm, and it really solidified their defense. I mean, Connor McDavid has to be the Hart Trophy winner by miles. I can't imagine anybody else picking anyone but him. He was absolutely spectacular this year. So I think that the idea of getting bumped in the second round is really disappointing for a team that looked like it was going to have a really great shot to bring the Stanley Cup back to Canada. So, I mean, there's some similarities there as far as, you know, what the hope was for the Leafs. But I think with the Oilers, it might even be a little bit more intense because we saw how good they could be. We saw it at points in this playoffs, but you know, Vegas has been one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the league all season. And this series really came down to a 5-on-5 series, and Vegas happened to squeak it out. So disappointing day for sure for Canadian hockey fans between, you know, Friday night's Leafs loss and then Sunday night's loss for the Oilers.
Okay. And what are your thoughts going into tonight's Dallas Stars, Seattle Kraken? Game 7, it has been a very even series, which we predicted, generally speaking, in our round two preview at the beginning of round two, just about 2 weeks ago. But what do you anticipate going into a one game playoff now, a winner take all Game 7? Because as we know in sports, anything can happen when you get to a Game 7.
Yeah, well, and I think that's it, right? We're on the edge of having the two most recent expansion teams play in the Western Conference Final, which is a wild story and certainly one that's of interest. Or you look at a Stars team that you know, battled its way to a Cup Final in the bubble, and is now you know, had to retool a little bit over the last couple seasons and not quite getting back to that level. And here they are on the edge of another Western Conference final. So I think there's some cool stories either way. This is where we split. So you have the Kraken winning in game seven. So your prediction is very much alive. I had the Stars in six. So while my game total is not quite correct, still have a chance to have the right team. But yeah, I think it's really a toss up. I'm going to stick with my thought. I think the Stars have the better goaltender in Jake Oettinger. I think they have the more explosive offense with guys like Jason Robertson and Pavelski, who's turned back the clock in these playoffs. So I'm going to have to stick with the Stars, but I wouldn't say it's the most confident pick I've made this week.
Well, I will repeat one thing that I repeated when I originally took this team in this round, and that is release the Kraken. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I also just want to get your thoughts quickly on something that is hilarious. We talked about it earlier on when Pavelski did it, but can you recall a playoffs in recent memory where there have been so many hat tricks and or four goal games by NHL hockey players like we've seen in this playoffs? Because it wasn't just Pavelski, it was another individual the night after Pavelski who I can't remember off the top of my head.
Draisaitl got four goals in the Edmonton game the day after Pavelski did.
Correct. And then I believe last night in the Golden Knights and Edmonton game, there was another four goal game, or at least a hat trick, if I remember correctly. So what do you take away from all of that happening? Because like I said, I can't recall a playoffs where we've seen so many multi goal games by one individual.
I mean, I think that every playoffs has someone, right? Someone breaks out and scores multiple goals or leads the team in goal scoring that you maybe don't expect. I think that the playoffs, the way the NHL is built, is the playoffs are built for those moments and these playoff performers. You can basically make an entire career out of being a playoff goal scorer. So, yeah, I can't think off the top of my head exactly who those people were, but I think if you look at it over the years, you find lots of guys who score and score multiple times. I don't know if I remember a playoffs that's had as much scoring. Like there seems like there's a lot of goals going in this year. There's been some weird blowouts in series. I mean, the Devils Hurricane series, I think all but one game were several goal victories, which you don't see a whole lot of. So the playoffs are all about storylines, and often we find players. There's a breakout star. There's a veteran who's turning back the clock. There's a superstar doing superstar things. There's a goalie that's stealing everything. And I think that if you think about those kind of narratives, you can find all of those in this year's playoffs.
Speaking of storylines, switching gears to the NBA for a moment, we are on the precipice of the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals on the way to the championship for the NBA. There have been a tremendous amount of storylines leading in to these series, none the least of which a battered and bruised LA Lakers team has seemingly found their game on the back of a 38-year-old LeBron James. And Lonnie Walker had a great game, who's a youngster that stepped up and scored 17 points for them in the fourth quarter the other day. And when Anthony Davis is engaged and wants to play, and that's a game-to-game scenario, he's still capable of putting up 25 and 12 for you on any given night, it seems. They were able to beat a very game Golden State Warriors team to make it to this point. And it reminds me very similarly of that Cleveland Cavaliers team that largely had no business getting to the NBA final all the way back in 2016 against Golden State at the beginning of their dynasty. But LeBron and Kyrie pretty much carried that team to the finals. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Also, on the other flip side, you have the Miami Heat who had to make their way through the play-in tournament and go in as an 8 seed, and they really have turned themselves into seemingly an NCAA Cinderella team with this run to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it has put up quite an interesting matchup now between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. So what are your thoughts on all of the storylines going into the Western and Eastern Conference NBA Finals?
Yeah, I think that, I think on the West, you're looking at a LeBron James who might be feeling like this is his last real crack at it, right? It has a vibe to me of a guy who's trying to do it for one more time. And I think that that's dangerous when you're a player of LeBron's caliber, right? He can, he can sort of will a team to do insane things. And we're kind of seeing that right now. So I'm interested to see what happens there. I think that Denver's the better team. And I think that it's going to be, I think it'll be a good series, but as much as people can be down on LeBron James and, the argument about him versus Jordan, who's the greatest of all time and this and that. I just think that there's something to seeing a player of his caliber continuing to play at this level, even as he's 38 years old. I think Denver's going to do it. I think they're the better team, but man, it would be pretty cool to see the Lakers win. On the other side, you got the Heat versus the Celtics. I think this is the Heat team that we sort of expected to see all year, and maybe even last year when they were a little disappointing. And now we're starting to see what this team can do. And Jimmy Butler has just been lights out. Like, what an unbelievable playoff run. This is a playoff. This is the stuff that legends are made of. And, if there was any doubt about this guy's superstar status, I think it's absolutely been quieted with how unbelievable he's played and what he's done for that Heat team. Again, I think the Celtics are probably the more well-rounded team. I think that, they're for going into this series, they're my picks for the win, but I like what the Heat have done. I'll always cheer for Kyle Lowry, no matter what color he's wearing. I would love to see the Heat win, but I think we're poised to see Denver versus Boston. But you never know.
I would really like to see a Lakers Heat final, because then you got LeBron going up against, his old team when he took his talents to South Beach and everything like that, which is a fun thing as well. I do, however, agree with you that it's going to be Denver and Boston because of all the reasons that you said. Jason Tatum absolutely went off yesterday in Game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers to make sure that they got to this point. And I just believe that, Miami has been playing playoff basketball for the better part of 2 months now just to get into the playoffs initially and go on this run, so they may run out of gas. And on the other side, I love Jamal Murray. I will always cheer for Jamal Murray because he's a fellow Canadian and from Ontario as well. I want to see him and Jokic get to the biggest stage, because they haven't been able to do that since they have both started playing together in Denver. So like I said at the beginning of this, there's no shortage of storylines, but no matter which way you look at it, I think that NBA fans will be happy with the outcome based on storylines on either side.
Yeah, as people know, I don't follow it as closely as some. My attention this time of year is 1,000% on the NHL playoffs. But it's not that I'm not interested. It's not that I'm not excited. I'll be watching as many games as I can, but I'll say my interest in the NBA playoffs really ratchets up as the conference finals come and as the NBA finals come. So hopefully as we talk about this over the next couple of weeks, I'll have a few more insights on games I've actually been able to watch.
Well, not so much insights as much as they are remarks. Anyways, to end today's show, I just want to get your thoughts, because it was the unofficial quarter mark of the Major League Baseball season yesterday. We are through the first 40 games of the season, and the Blue Jays were able to have a dramatic come-from-behind win for about the eighth time already this season, seemingly, beat the Braves 6-5 yesterday to complete a three-game sweep of a very talented and hot Atlanta Braves team, coming off of getting swept in a short two-game series in Philadelphia. That's the way you respond, because right now they are in the midst of a 10-game homestand that is really, for the first time this season, a true gauntlet for this team as they face the Braves. Then starting tonight, they have the New York Yankees for four games, and then they have the upstart and very entertaining Baltimore Orioles, who are no longer a walkover as well. And we've talked about all of these teams already multiple times throughout the beginning of the season, and we know that the Yankees have been struggling because of injuries and whatnot. Well, we expect them to be the Yankees when it is all said and done. But what do you make of this 10-game homestand that we are in the midst of right now for the Toronto Blue Jays?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we look at the quarter mark of the season, there's things that I really like about this Jays team. I think the changes they made in the offseason are showing just how valuable they are. Guys like Kiermaier and Varsho, who have played really well in joining the team. We're starting to see the pitching rounding out a little bit here and not having some of the troubles it was having early on. And I think that the Jays are where they should be. Right. If, of course, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays have a nearly historic start to their season, but they're starting to level off here as well. And at the quarter mark of the season, you look at yourself with 24 wins and you're third in the division. That's a pretty darn good division you're playing in. And as we know, the AL East is always a gauntlet. You know, the Blue Jays 24 wins would have them, you know, first in the AL Central and second in the AL West. So I don't think you can be too disappointed. I don't think you can look at where they are in the standings and measure that as a level of, you know, their play. I think they've played very well. I think they'll continue to do well. I think that they will be in the conversation for the AL East title at the end of the year. So I really like what I've seen. I thought they did a great job over the weekend. The Braves are still a very good team. And to get a sweep on a team like that, I think really matters. And, you know, now you got to go in and you have to take care of teams in your own division, right? You have to take care of playing against the Yankees. You have to remind the Orioles that, you know, they're still, they might be young and they might be talented, but the Jays are still the better team. And you have a chance to do that this week. So looking forward to it, but where the Jays are right now, I'm pretty happy with the start they've had to this season.
What are your thoughts on the fact that for the first time in seemingly a long time, I'd say since 2015, 2016, we are seeing fans at the Rogers Center at a pace that we haven't seen since those years when we made it to the American League Championship Series. Usually we see, you know, crowds like 40,000, 41,000 in the heart of the summer if the team is doing well and whatnot. But here we are, you know, 5 weeks into the season, 40 games in, and you'd be hard pressed to find a game at all, whether it's during the week or the weekend right now, where it's not close to a sellout, if not a sellout.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've been building to this, right? Like it kind of started in that, you know, even before that 2015 team, right? The big trade they made with the Marlins, I think that was the going into the 2014 season, I think, where they got Dickey and they got, you know, that crew of players there that sort of built the foundation for, or sort of said to the fan base, hey, we're going to go for it. Right.
Yeah.
And they really made it clear that the Blue Jays wanted to be among the contenders in the AL East again. And so, you know, Yeah, there was a dip there, right? When Shapiro and Atkins came in, they had a plan, they executed that plan. But I think that, you know, the Blue Jays have done a lot to ensure that they've been transparent with their fan base. They've spent money when the time came. They've given, you know, Vladdy and Bo and Manoa and all the young guys that were those highly touted prospects have now become, you know, highly capable major league players. So, and, you know, bordering on superstars. So I think it's a culmination of a bunch of really good work by the Blue Jays, by their management, by the team itself to continue to give the fans what we want. Right. And that's a baseball team that's going to contend. So I'm not surprised. I think Toronto is a baseball town. I just don't think that I think there was a lot of years where they didn't trust the management was putting in the time, money, effort to have a winner on the field. And ever since the management has decided to put consistently put winning products on the field, the fans have come back and the fans will stay. So it's exciting to see.
Well, what better way to end this Monday, May 15th, post Mother's Day edition of the Isolation Series than on that note. For Paul Shields, I am Spencer Miller. This has been another edition of the Isolation Series, and we appreciate you watching and or listening wherever it is that you are doing so. And we appreciate the sponsors without whom we wouldn't be able to do this as often as we do. But we look forward to coming at you again soon with another edition of the Isolation Series to break down more of the NHL playoffs and NBA playoffs, respectively. But for now, take care of yourself and each other. Bye-bye.
And Paul, please tell people all about some more whole grain goodness that is us.
Folks, be sure to check us out on podbean.com by going to theisolationseries.podbean.com. There you'll find the audio-only versions of the podcast, including all of our past amazing interviews. One more time, that's theisolationseries.podbean.com. And hey, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. It's at @TheSpencerMiller and at Pauly Shields, Pauly spelled P-A-W-L-Y. So find us on podbean.com, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
And once again, everybody, thank you for watching and or listening and supporting this thing we like to call the Isolation Series. For Paul Shields, I am Spencer Miller, and we will see you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.